That's right. You know what time it is. A fact I'm going to rely on, as I do not have a watch, but I trust you. A serious security backdoor in a widely used compression utility for Linux has come to light after being discovered and flagged by developer Andres Freund, who works for Microsoft by day and maintains Postgres SQL by night.
Just like Batman.
Freund only noticed because he was making the best of his Easter long weekend by doing some micro benchmarking when he noticed that encrypted logins to part of the XSED compression library were using a ton of CPU, which led him to discover the backdoor in XSED utils.
God, you're saying Zed.
We say Zed in Canada. I'll stop now. I'll say it normal. Had it not come to light when it did, it could have been potentially disastrous. XZ, there you go. Utils is available for almost every distribution of Linux, but luckily, the malicious code was spotted before it could be added into the production release of a major distro. It was, however, found in beta releases for Fedora Rawhide and Debian, as well as a stable release of Arch Linux, and the Arch users will inform you of that. The backdoor apparently works by injecting code during SSH authentication, thereby allowing unauthorized remote access. Bizarrely, this malicious code seems to have been introduced by one of XZUtil's two primary developers, Jia Tan, aka Jia T75, one of the earlier Terminators, who had been contributing to the XZ project regularly since 2021. While it's possible that their system was compromised, Jia T75's account engaged in suspicious activity over the course of several weeks, including repeatedly contacting others about their new fixes. Several notable contributors to the project have therefore theorized that Jia T75's involvement in XZ has been part of a long con intended to get more and more invasive permissions through both genuine code contributions and a pressure campaign conducted through sock puppets against its original developer, Lassie Collin, for faster development. So far, researchers have yet to find any evidence that Jia Tan exists beyond his presence in open source circles, which honestly isn't all that different from other Linux users. Stop browsing the web using a text editor and go outside. Your family misses you. You have to see your family to tell them you use Arch. Amazon is abandoning its cashierless checkout system at its chain of Fresh grocery stores, in part because it wasn't really cashierless, and instead relied on a small army of over 1,000 overseas workers monitoring and reviewing footage from these transactions. The program launched in 2016 under the name Just Walk Out, the empowering slogan of absent fathers everywhere. Just Walk Out involves a series of cameras and sensors throughout the store which track customers after they scan in at the door and automatically charge them for the items they take when they leave. 27 of Amazon's 44 Fresh stores have Just Walk Out available, and while Amazon gave the impression that the system was fully automated, an estimated 70% of Just Walk Out sales required a human review as of 2022, according to information from The Information.
They love that stuff.
They do love information. Amazon disputes this number and claims that these reviewers' primary purpose was to annotate videos for improved machine learning. If accurate, however, this would seem to indicate that the company wasn't actually replacing human cashiers, it was just outsourcing them, most likely by having an underpaid office worker in India watch you while you shop. This might explain why shoppers at Fresh stores sometimes found it would take hours to receive a receipt for their purchase. Amazon hasn't given up on the cashierless experience, though, and its stores will instead increasingly rely on dash carts, essentially a combination of shopping cart and self-checkout, which tallies up items as they're added to the cart. Although, maybe there's actually just a tiny little man hiding behind the screen who uses a peephole to look inside your cart and see what you're buying. Who knows? As part of a settlement to a class action lawsuit, Google has agreed to delete a massive store of web data that it collected while users browsed using Chrome's purportedly private incognito mode. Google has likewise agreed to update their privacy policy as well as the incognito mode landing page to explicitly notify users that the company continues to collect data from third-party sites and apps regardless of what mode their browser is in. Google originally argued to have the case dismissed under the logic that users had implicitly consented to have their data collected, even in incognito mode, because it warned them that their activity might still be visible to websites they visit. Which is a bit like saying that your wife consented to your affair because you told her there might be other women at the company Christmas party.
You know how these parties go.
I mean, you put some scotch in me and I put myself in women. In a silver lining for Google, the agreement will spare the company from a potential $5 billion penalty, which is good because they need that money to invest in their next project, preventing other people from stealing your browser data. Don't steal their brand. Google is testing device-bound session credentials to block malicious actors from accessing sensitive accounts by stealing and cloning a person's session credentials, a form of encryption that ties authentication cookies to the user's PC, something we here at LMG have intimate experience with.
Now it's time for Quick Bits, brought to you by Telo, the mobile company offering more data and lowering their prices for every single plan. Telo's unlimited plan offers a host of features, like free international calls to 60-plus countries, free hotspot and tethering, and unlimited 2G data after you've used your 35-gigabyte 4G LTE / 5G balance, all for just $25 a month. Oh, and forget those binding contracts. With Telo, there's no bulk buying, no advance or annual payment, no contracts. There's only the flexibility to build your own phone plan just the way you like it. Say Telo to your new phone plan at the link below. So that's how that goes.
And now it's Half Past Tech News, also known as Quick Bit O'Clock. Just some fun studio lingo. We all say it.
That's what we call it.
Yeah. I totally didn't make that up. Qualcomm has released new benchmarks showing their upcoming ARM-powered Snapdragon X Elite laptop processors embarrassing Intel's recently released Meteor Lake Core Ultra chips. Compared to Intel's Core Ultra 9 185H and Core Ultra 7 155H, really cool names, the Elite performed around 50% faster in Geekbench at around half the power consumption, also beating out AMD's Ryzen 9 7940HS and even Apple's M3. Qualcomm's regularly been bragging about how great the X Elite is since October. And with the month to go until they finally arrive in the new Microsoft Surface lineup, I think it's time to chill for a bit. You didn't see Apple chasing people around on the street with PowerPoint presentations about how the M1 is going to revolutionize the industry.
Please, please.
They left it to the boardrooms. All of them. Last year, Google warned that the Google Podcast service would soon Google perish. And, forsooth, it has now come to Google Pass. How do they know? Users outside of the US will still be able to listen to podcasts until June 24th, but after that, everyone will have to get their fix somewhere else. Like on an app that Google hasn't killed yet, YouTube Music. Hopefully, you don't go looking on that app for Google's own Made by Google podcast, though, because YouTube Music doesn't have it. Google, if you're gonna kill so many apps, it would be nice to have more of a plan than the Star Wars sequels.
No! Why did you... Don't mention it. Oh, it hurts.
TSMC has announced that workers are already returning to factories less than 24 hours after Taiwan was hit by its strongest earthquake in 25 years. As of reporting, the quake killed 9 and injured more than 1,000 people. 70% of TSMC's chip-making operations had recovered within 10 hours of the earthquake, and that is unfortunately important because Taiwan is responsible for 80 to 90% of the world's high-end chips. But I think I speak for the world when I say, hey, TSMC, come here. New chips are nice and all, but so is taking a single day off after your country was devastated by an earthquake. Having said that, thanks for preventing a domino effect that would inflate the price of basically everything on Earth even further.
So, back to work.
Australia is turning to virtual fences after multiple car companies have tried and failed to calibrate their onboard large animal detection systems to kangaroos. They already had large animal detection systems? Volvo, for example, has had a system that detects pedestrians, cyclists, and various sundry beasts of the forest since 2016. But kangaroos have proven a bit of a problem, in part because the average pedestrian can't run at 44 miles per hour or launch themselves 10 feet into the air.
Well, not with that attitude.
According to Volvo Australia's technical lead, David Pickett, kangaroos tend to move unpredictably, and when it's airborne, you lose the point of reference for where it actually is. Terrifying. Instead, Australia will be experimenting with virtual fences, which are activated by approaching headlights and use flashing lights and high-pitched alarms to scare animals away from roadsides. Installation is unfortunately expensive, but on the other hand, a kangaroo hitting your windshield is both expensive and bad for the kangaroo.
Does that mean that driving down a highway in Australia will sound like...
A piece of metal discarded from the International Space Station apparently ripped through the roof and two floors of a home in Naples, Florida. And if you felt relieved after I specified which Naples it was, you're a bad person. The 2-pound piece of cylindrical metal that hit the home of Alejandro Otero is alleged to be part of a 2.9-ton cargo pallet containing 9 batteries tossed from the ISS 3 years ago. Apparently, Japan may be liable for the damages, since their space agency sent the now-discarded structure into space. So congratulations to whoever had Florida man sues Japan after extraterrestrial attack on their 2024 bingo card. But if you've got more tech news on your bingo card, just come back on Friday when we post the next episode. If you don't play bingo, very simple. You should instead come back on Friday when we post the next episode.
Don't do the other one.
Don't mix them up.